Good morning. I'm happy to be here, and I hope that you are too. And as usual, I am happy to bring you yet one more AFCO student. Are y'all getting tired of them?
No.
Good. I'm glad to hear that, because I'd have to find some other reason to come down and visit you guys on Thursdays then. But I'm delighted to bring to you today Lukanda Gardner. He's not from Northern California, but I'll let him tell you a little more of his story. Lukanda?
Morning. Yes, it's amazing to be here at Amazing Facts. I must say, to see all the faces of persons that have made one of the most great and wonderful experiences that I've ever had in my life possible, to be here along with the staff at AFCO and even up at WEMAR. Like Eric said, I'm not from the United States. I'm from the Bahamas, and it's a very far, far, far way away from here. So what I'm going to attempt to do by the grace of God is just to tell you a little bit about how the Lord has been leading in my life and how wonderful it is to be here at this point in time because of His leading. And let us just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, it's a great and wonderful privilege. I thank you for this beautiful day that you have set upon us. I ask that the word that I speak, the Heavenly Father, may touch some heart to encourage, to build up, the Heavenly Father, and to just direct persons to the cross, the Heavenly Father, and in the ministry that they work in here at Amazing Facts to touch souls. Speak through me now. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. In the Bahamas, the statistics would tell us that 62% of all births in the past 30 years were to single mothers. This would play a great part in my testimony. I don't think I'll have time to give you all of it, but that right there is one of the things that I like to take note in my life, how the Lord has led me and has actually built me up to show how He's just totally rearranged my life. So therefore, I grew up in a home with just a mother, partly with my grandmother, just a mother. My grandmother was in, I guess you would call it here in North America, the Church of England, the Anglican Church, Episcopalian Church. And she would make sure that we went to church every Sunday. My mother never really spoke to us about religion, but my grandmother was very strong on that. But she died after a while. She did die, and after a while, I got confirmed in the church, and about 13 thereafter, I just dropped church completely, and that was the last time that church and religion and God was ever directly brought to me, except probably flipping through the channels on TV and watching a little bit of it, totally just for entertainment. But Exodus 20 to 23 has captivated me, and if you turn there in your Bible, I'm just going to read it, and it's speaking about the leading, guiding, and guarding of God. Exodus 23, verse 20 to 23. I should know it by heart by now, but I'm going to read it. In verse 20 it says, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off." And as I was saying, the Lord is leading in my life, I believe, because these people who are Israelites were being now transported, exported out of Exodus, and now He's speaking unto this people through Moses to say that I'm sending an angel before you. There are things that will happen, there are things that you will see, there are smells, there are sights, there are sounds, there'll be an experience with each other and, of course, with God. But know that I am leading you. He also said in these verses that there are things that are going to come upon you, enemies that are going to come upon you, trials, tribulations, distractions, discouragements that are going to come upon you, and I will be there with you. But stick with me, because I am leading the way. In 2002, I'm going to blow through my testimony. It really has a build, but I'm going to blow through it. 2002, I was working in hospitality for a very long time, a place where a lot of partying, a lot of wild lifestyle goes on, and I was deep into that. Like I said, I was confirmed in the church, you know, did all that things and had that pass. I had pretty much of agreement with God that I wouldn't get involved in his stuff, and I didn't want him to get involved in my life. And I had that mindset, and I would just live that way. And my life, as I partied, as I lived it up, as I did different things that were very negative, I realized a point in my life in 2002 that my life was empty. My life had no purpose, it had no meaning, and the smiles and laughs, because I was always the clown around life at a party in some way, and I realized that my life really was empty. I would lay in my bed after partying, whatever the case may be, and just look up in the dark ceiling and just realize that there was nothing going on in my life, because there were things that could have happened that I just let go. I was in the process of doing vocational study to do electrical engineering, but at that point it was just electronics and electrical installation. But I quit that basically to live a wild life. I didn't realize at that age that you needed to make the small choices that would build up to greater choices. But even then, the Lord was leading, because I would think about these things on my bed at night. Regrets, emptiness, a life with no purpose, and also fractured relationships. A lot of fractured relationships. One with my father. So in the summer of 2002, I began to realize this, and I just said, God, you know, I've known you in the past. We've had a broken relationship. If you want me, I want you to call me. And I want it to be so distinct and so clear that it can't be any other. Because in my country, there's three churches on every corner. Not one, but three churches on every corner. So everybody is preaching to you. And everybody's preaching something different. So in 2002, I say this to God. In hindsight, it gives you 20/20. So after this point, I realized that I was continually spiraling down at a greater rate. And as that time went on, I began to have these reoccurring dreams. And the dream was the return of Jesus Christ. Now, growing up in an Anglican church to that point, you never would really hear the true perception or story or the truth about the second coming of Jesus Christ. But here I am, a person in this position, never really heard about it. I'm having this dream. This dream went on from the beginning of the summer of 2002 till the day that I gave my life to Jesus Christ, which was almost a year later. And it would be in different scenarios. He would just come in the clouds with a smile on his face and beckoning to me, coming to me. Not hellfire, no brimstone, no nothing. Come to me. And I would always turn away and run away in fear. And I would wake up out of that dream not able to go back to sleep because I was so afraid. And I tried to jump smart on God. And I said, you know what? I noticed that when I drink a whole lot, I black out. So I intentionally would do heavy nightcaps because I worked in a restaurant at this time. So I would do heavy nightcaps just to sedate me to the point where I wouldn't dream. That's how afraid I was of this dream. But the dreams came through, all of that. So at least once or twice a month, I would have this dream. Different scenario, but always the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I would be afraid. And my life goes on. Now I'm getting to the point where my girlfriend at the time, whom I did meet, and really I got to hear about Seventh-day Adventists through her. And I saw that she would, you know, go to church on Sabbath, which was totally weird, and all the different things that came along with it. And I visited the church a couple of times just out of, you know, interest in her and respect for her. And we had a child. And I looked and I kept and I focused on just taking care of my daughter. the relationship with her mother, nevertheless, was fractured. So here I am now having these wild dreams, just totally losing it. And my mother notices that because I'm living with her at the time. And she puts a Bible open on my bed every night and turns it to the Psalms. First time my mother ever did anything religious, anything directly about God in my life. I see the leading of God through my mother in hindsight, because I would actually pick up the Bible and read it. Oh, so now these dreams are becoming more intense. I can't break them. I can't get away. Behind all of it, I am just being shaken. And so she invites me, my girlfriend at the time, to a revelation series. And she says, you need to come to these. You know, we are getting a big fight about it. I don't want to come. I'm not going to be pressured. And so. So I leave it alone. Now, during this time that this is going on, there's a lot of different stuff that are going on in my life and twisting and turning, which I can't get into because of time. But the Lord is still walking with me. He's still talking to me through it all. So I can't get away. And I remember what I said to him at the year before. And so now I'm saying to myself, you know, all of these different things that are negative in my life, I'm looking at them again. And on the 19th of April, 2003, I was in a bar, once again trying to sedate myself and just trying to, you know, be social as possible so I don't have to be alone and think about the regrets and the different things and what God is actually trying to do. I'm seeing this in hindsight now. And so I head out and I go to bed, and I wake up the next morning, get dressed and ready to go to work at 6 a.m. in the morning, and I'm driving my truck to work, and I sit on this red light, and I'm just sitting there, no music playing. This is a Sunday morning. It's pretty quiet on the street. And this voice in the truck, it's a single cabin truck, go to church and follow God. And that's what the voice says. And it's so audible, I look around in the cabin of the truck, which is impossible because there's nobody there. There's no music playing, nothing like that. And I hear that voice, and it plagues me the whole day. The whole day. By midday, I realized that what I've asked God, not really in a prayer, I said, God, call me and make it distinct. I see the Lord leading in that. And by the midday, I said, God, it is you. It is distinct. It is clear. It is direct. Nobody else spoke those words but you. I did. So I left work that day. I went to my ex-girlfriend's house at the time, the mother of my daughter, and I say, you know, I remember that you invited me to a Revelations seminar. Once again, the Lord is leading, because the seminar went on for 4 weeks. That Sunday was the last day of the seminar. The last day. And I said, and I had broken up with her a while ago. The same flyer that she gave me was still on the living room table when I went into the living room. Still there. And I asked her the question. She said, yes, going on, it's right there. It's the last night. She could have said no. She could have been bitter and angry and said, no, I don't want anything to do with you. But she did. So we got dressed, picked her up, went. The pastor preached a message, Revelation series, and he forgot to make the appeal. And so I'm sitting in the church midway. She's a little ways next to me. And I'm like, isn't there supposed to be where people gets up and move to the front? Because I used to watch Billy Graham once in a while because, you know, of George Shea and his singing and all that stuff. So I moved forward, and I didn't get to move forward. And an elder who was playing the organ tapped the pastor on his shoulder. And was like, he whispered something to him, and he said, oh. And then he made the appeal. And I breathe a great sigh of relief, because I came there with not even to hear the message, just to run to Jesus, just to give my life to him. And I saw it on TV, and I knew about that much. And I just went up there as quick as possible. You know, they went through all of it. You know, it was amazing. And I saw the Lord's leading in my life. In hindsight, once again, I want to always say, In a testimony, that is where I was. I met Jesus in a spectacular way. I saw his leading. And then, here it is now. Those fractured relationships are being renewed. They're being restored. After my whole life feeling like my father did not love me, not knowing what happened between him and my mother. I'm an adult. Even after I was baptized in the church, the Lord restored the relationship, or at least gave some closure to it. I'm standing in an automotive store, random, not even his side of town, my side of town, and I see him, and I look over his shoulder, and I'm wondering whether I should even speak to him or not, because I haven't seen him in like probably 12 years, right? And he spins around, and he sees me, and he looks at me dead in the face, you know, and we talk, you know, we greet, small talk. We don't have anything else to talk about. And he just holds my shoulder, and he just looks me dead in the eye, and he says, look, whatever went down, just know that your daddy loves you. Grown man, I'm crying. I couldn't believe it, because there was actual closure to the relationship. There was like, I know now that he loves me. I was able to go back and ask my mother what happened, because I told her about it, and she told me. Also, to jump back, the girlfriend that I broke up with, I had a daughter with, after I got baptized, a year and a half later, we got married. The Lord showed me in that space and time, because I intentionally waited to even ask for the marriage, because I still wanted his leading. And that's why this text has always been in me. He told me, look, you are supposed to be a better father than you ever had. Be a father to those children that you would bring and the one that you have now. And so he's been creating in me the desire to just be the father that God wants us all to be, who are fathers. Coming into AFCO, as I close up, the Lord led me in that way, whereas I had a tremendous Jonah experience where I began a little business, got out of the hospitality field, got into a little deli business, going great. Then all of a sudden, it flat, just dropped flat for no reason. It was feasible, it was great, it was growing, dropped flat. All that time, even the reason why I came out of it was to go into ministry. But the mind to make money first, then go into ministry came. And so what happened to ministry? Back burner. Because I was very, very on fire, very involved in the church. Because I couldn't believe that this second coming was actually true, the way that I saw it in my dream, after I learned the truth about that. And so the Lord led me in that way, bottomed out, everything flattened out. And guess who the Lord leads me to encourage me in my time of like, man, I'm almost bankrupt, I'm broke. You know, I left my job 2 years ago. The Lord has been speaking to me ever since, and I'm really in big trouble right now. I go to a brother named Delphine Gordon. Well, I don't go to him, I call him. And he says, look, come to my house, we'll talk. So we talk for about 3 hours, and then he prays with me. And as I'm leaving his house, he gives me a amazing facts, Center of Evangelism brochure. God is leading in my life. So if there's anyone in here in printing and mailing, designing that brochure, know that God is leading in your life. When you get up in the morning, you're touching someone like me when you do your work. When you drive the truck and deliver those things, when you print them out, when you design them, Shamika was on that particular brochure along with all the other faces, and I got to meet her ASI, and I'm like, you on the brochure. And her quote was like, it spoke to me about the fact that it changed her life, and it was great and it was excellent, and it was just the place that I knew the Lord was calling me. So I had my Jonah experience, and Delphine gave me that. We prayed about it. The week after I apply, the week after I find out my wife is pregnant with our second child, I'm like, whoa. I'm going to have to quit my job, probably close the business down and leave everything in this space of time. So what am I going to do, God? I need you to lead in my life. And this text comes up again. The Amorites, the Hittites, the everybody, they're going to be moved out of the way. You have to listen to my voice. He said, obey the voice of the angel. And so I obey him. I tell all of my customers, which were hundreds of, we have 450 banks in the Bahamas on a 21x7 island, which is a part of a big commonwealth. But I would cater to the banks, whether it's wealth management, private banking, I would cater to them in a deli formal way, just set it up in there. It's like a, you know, vending machines. So I close it down, and everybody's like, where are you going? I have to go and do ministry. I have to go and do ministry. And those people saw it in me, and a lot of them donated to the cause. They donated to the cause, and people donated. You know, it's too much to tell in the space of time. It's too much to tell. So the leading of God was all through. And the fire that keeps me going every day, even at AFCO, because AFCO is like amazing. It's amazing. It's like mind-blowing. It's like it should be everywhere. It should be everywhere. I know people in this crowd wouldn't mind having an AFCO in the Caribbean or in the Bahamas. They would love that. But in closing, let me just tell you, be encouraged in your ministry here. You may get up sometimes and figure it's just a job. I don't know. It's not just a job. It's changed Delthony's life. It has changed my life. And just by him transferring what was given to him, I think he was in here in 06 or 07. He gave that to me, and I was able to run with it. All because, even from my birth, before my birth, but in this picturing, the Lord was leading all the way through. And the fire that burns within me every day is to make sure that I'm ready for this second coming that I was so afraid for. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. And I want to be able to be trained in AFCO and thereafter to help people, even in the church, and people that don't know Jesus, to be ready for when he comes and to be joyous in seeing him. So my encouragement today, if anything else, is just let the Lord lead. In the morning, let him lead. Every day, let him lead. Wherever he calls you to go, whatever he calls you to do, let him lead. Because no matter what comes up against you, as you can see, I don't have time, but it will play out tremendously. Because I don't know, and with the Lord, he has a great sense of humor. Because I left everything behind. When I get back home, God's willing, my wife will be 7 months pregnant. I don't know what is next. The Lord supplied everything. People jumped on board. They help out financially. They take care of everything. And just because they know that the Lord is leading in my life. And they see the benefit of it all. And to come in contact with people who have that same desire here at Amazing Facts, at AFCO, even up at Weimar, even just walking. There are people that have the same desire in their life. So Amazing Facts staff, do not be discouraged. Be encouraged that every day when you come through that gate, you're doing something that is going to affect a little broken Bahamian boy and his family to do what the Lord has taught us to do. Amen? Let's close with a word of prayer. Almighty God, you are a leading the Heavenly Father. Today I thank you for holding me together and bringing this word to these wonderful people here at Amazing Facts, the Heavenly Father. And as you are a God that said you will be our leader, not our follower, you want to be in the front. May your word come to us, and may we, the Heavenly Father, desire fully to surrender all to you, that we can do what you've asked us to do. Because we never know what the outcome would be, but we know that it will be great and wonderful, because God never does anything otherwise. Please be with everyone here as they continue their ministry, as their work. Keep them safe, keep them grounded, and most of all, keep them surrendered by the continual speaking of your Holy Spirit to their hearts. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lakonda. Have a great Thursday.